Jazakallahu khairan. Now, inshallah, we're finally going to be listening to Shaykh as he addresses us on a very important topic. The topic being the ulama, about the ulama who have been produced from this blessed land. We learned about the history of Palestine, We learned about the way Palestine is, what's going on down there in Palestine. And now, finally, inshallah, Shaykh would be addressing us with regards to the ulama that were produced by this blessed land. For example, the brother was just saying before that Imam Shafi, rahimahullah himself, he came from Gaza. And the Arabic poet, he says, a very amazing poem, says, قَدْ مَاتَ قَوْمٌ وَمَا مَاتَتْ مَكَارِمُهُمْ وَحَاشَ قَوْمٌ وَهُمْ فِي النَّاسِ أَمْوَاتُ. That a certain people, they lived, but their legacies, they lived and they passed away, but their legacy is still here. It remains in the lives of every single human being. And then there's certain people who are living, but in the eyes of people, it's as though they're dead. In the eyes of people, it's as though they're dead. So, as a small introduction for the Shaykh, Shaykh Ibrahim Maman Madani was born in the blessed city of the Prophet, Medina Munawwara, where he began his Hifz al-Quran and study of Hadith. As a young boy, he attended the lessons of the great Shaykh al-Hadith, Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullahi Alayhi, winning his du'as. In 1980, upon instruction of Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullahi Alayhi, he left for England to study at Darul Uloom, where he completed his Hifz al-Quran and Alim course. In 1987, he moved to Waterloo, Canada to serve as Imam of a Masjid. 4 years later, he moved to Buffalo with his father and brothers to help establish Darul Uloom al-Madaniya. In 1993, Hazrat Sufi Iqbal, a beloved student of the late Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullahi Alayhi, granted him ijaza for bay'ah. Since 1991, Shaykh Ibrahim has been teaching Arabic fiqh, hadith and tafsir. And inshallah, now he's in Charam and he's in the madrasa and he's running this madrasa. So without any further ado, I would like to call upon Shaykh Ibrahim to bless us and to entertain us with his words.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله الذي هدى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين اجتبى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير وقال الله تعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم على حبيبك ونبيك سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا وحبيبنا ونبينا محمد وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا جزى الله عنا سيدنا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله اللهم آته الوسيلة والفضيلة وابعثه مقاما محمودا الذي وعدته واجزه عنا أفضل ما جازيت نبيا عن قومه ورسولا عن أمته وصل على جميع إخوانه من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين أما بعد Respected ulama, my elders, dear brothers and sisters, it's late and the dinner is over, so I don't even know why are you people sitting here for. And really the topic that we are to discuss is not a topic of a speech. In old days, they used to get together in their neighborhoods. Isha, don't have these stories after Salatul Isha. But in reality, this is what we need for our gathering is summer. Spending the night talking about this topic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose that land, Masjid al-Aqsa, and the area around that area, around that masjid. And what does around the masjid mean? Inshallah, we'll talk briefly about it. Allah chose that area for that place to be a blessed land to see the last, to see the least. Because when we say blessed land, what does that mean? Generally, when we talk about the tafsir of those ayahs that talk about Barakna Hawla, we bless the area around it. Generally, we think it means a lot of fruit, and we give the examples of nice vegetations from there, all kind of beautiful flowers from there. And subhanAllah, it's a very fertile land and has a lot of good growth over there. But that is not the reason for that land to be a blessed land. There is much more than that. In fact, all of those things come as a result of something else. If we look at the history of that land, you would notice it's an amazing fact. Maybe we never think about it. That majority of the Anbiya alayhimus salatu was salam came in that area. Most of the Anbiya alayhimus salatu was salam were in that area. I remember once, this was when we were students in England, traveling by a bus, an old lady sitting there, and that's my experience over there at that time, Allahu Alam now, but you would get a look. So she keeps on looking at you, you know. But my problem was she had a big dog with her, and that was the scary part. She keeps on looking and looking, and I'm trying to just look the other way, you know. You don't want to stare at her and upset her with the dog there. And finally she opened up. Are you Muslim? I said, yes, I am. Are you Christian? She said, yes, I am. I said, I'm very happy for you. She didn't expect that. I said, I'm very happy for you that you're a Christian. And really she got even more upset with this. She said, why? I said, because I was from Saudi Arabia. I'm born and raised over there. So you're not following a person from your country here. You're following a person from my neighborhood. And this is a fact that even up to this point, people are failing to realize that all of these different Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam that people follow are from that area. Generally we hear, if you hear the word Iraq, oh, Iraqi, Palestinian. But Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, originally he's an Iraqi. Egyptian, Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. And here you see, we will see the list of Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam that are from Palestine. Subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about that land. We think these ayahs are talking only about Palestine, which means Al-Quds and certain areas around Al-Quds. And then when you read the books of history, you don't find too much mention of Palestine in there. You would read a lot about Sham, but you would not read too much about Palestine. And this is the reason for it, that when they use the word Sham, that includes Palestine, the Syria of our time, Jordan, Lebanon, and portion of Saudi Arabia. All of that is included in Sham of those days. And many times, when we read the books of history, and especially that were written by scholars of the past, not of a recent history, they would use the terminology of Sham, and when we read the word Sham, I don't even connect that there to Palestine and to that holy land. Whereas, when they say Sham, in fact, at the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, the capital of Sham was Al-Quds. And at the time of Sayyidina Sulaiman and Dawood alayhi salatu was salam, that area was known as Sham, and the capital of Sham was Al-Quds. Quds was the capital of Sham. So that whole area is a blessed area. There is a lot of barakah over there. Very briefly, going over the history of the people of that land. And of course, we are talking about it only from the religious point of view. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed that land. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was from Iraq. And as he had to leave Iraq, we know that Lut alayhi salatu wasalam was with Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Where did he go from Iraq? He went to Palestine. Allah talks about this in Quran. In fact, the brief history that I'm about to narrate of that land is only based on the ayahs of Al-Quran, but we won't have time to go into the details of the ayahs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ وَلُوطًا إِلَى الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We saved him and Lut alayhi salatu wasalam by taking them to the land الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا, in which we have put a lot of blessings for who? لِلْعَالَمِينَ, for people of all worlds. Now, without going into any depth of al-alamin, what does it refer to? The least we can say, if nations of all times of this universe. So there is barakah in that land for me and you even today. We look at that land as it's being a burden. Look at the problems over there. And as you study the history of that place, you see a whole history of problems. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have put a lot of barakah over there for people of all worlds, of all times. What is this? How would I see the barakah today? Without even going into that detail, I'll just give you an example. Sometime, when you have a program, say when we have this program, I don't know if today there is arrangement for children, but I don't see them running around. In order for you to make sure you don't have no disturbance in your program, you keep the children busy. Have a room where you keep some toys for them, and have some people to be over there. These people who are with the children there, they will miss the program. But because of them, we will all enjoy the program and be able to listen to it peacefully. Believe me, at this time, the situation of Palestine is keeping the world busy. And it may be because of that today we are able to establish our ibadat or here peacefully. Because the world is busy right now. They have no time for you. Otherwise, if they won't be busy over there, it's your time. So there is a lot of barakah over there. As the brother was telling us, reach into your pocket. It's not really, it's a burden on us. It's your own safety. بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا لِلْعَالَمِينَ. There is barakah there. So Ibrahim and Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, they went over there. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, as we know, he settled in Palestine, and Lut alayhi salatu wasalam's area was northwest or northeast from there, which is known as Suddum, the Dead Sea now, the area of the Dead Sea. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had his son, the first son that he had over there, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, was born in Palestine. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him to take his son Ismail all the way to location that we know, we call it now Makkah Mukarrama, the place of the Kaaba. This is where he took Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. After many years, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had another son, Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam, who was born in Palestine. Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam, born, raised and lived in Palestine. Then he had his son, Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, whose other name is Israel. Again, he was in and from Palestine. Until when Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam called Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam to Egypt. And that was the first time Bani Israel entered into Egypt. Surah Yusuf was revealed based on a question from a Jew to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that when was the first time Bani Israel went to Egypt? And the surah was revealed telling them the whole history of Bani Israel, that how did they ended up being in Misr, in Egypt. And of course, the first person out of Bani Israel that went to Misr, went to Egypt, was Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Then he invited the rest of the family, Yaqub alayhi salam, the rest of the family. Although Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, he moved there, and according to the books of histories, he lived there for 17 years. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam lived for a longer time in Misr. But at the end, they all are buried in Palestine. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is buried there. Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam is buried there. Yaqub alayhi salam is buried there. And Yusuf alayhi salam is buried there. All of them are there. After the time of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, now let's look at this period. The period of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam in Palestine. Quran talks about the challenges that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had to face in Iraq. But when he came to Palestine, it was peaceful. Didn't have to go through any hassle over there. Kept on doing his work. Going between Palestine and Makkah Mukarramah, visiting his son. And then build the Kaaba. But did not reside in Makkah Mukarramah. His permanent residence was Palestine. This is where he was doing all of his work after he left Iraq. Telling us that during the time of those Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, it was a very peaceful area. And the people of that area were very well receiving Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam and following the message of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. To a certain extent, of course, there is always opposition to Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam everywhere. After the time of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, at the time of Yusuf alayhi salam, as we know that there was kufr, there was shirk, and he's inviting people to Islam, as Allah mentioned some of those stories, incidents in Surah Yusuf. And finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy for Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam to do his work in Misr, in Egypt. Now Bani Israel are in Misr, in Egypt. Now Bani Israel are in Egypt. If we pause here for a minute, I will tell you where the conflict that we have today in the world, where did it start from? Yaqub alayhi salam's other name is Israel. So they say, we are Bani Israel. We are the children of Yaqub alayhi salam, and Yaqub alayhi salam is the one who established that land, and he's Israel, so we are, this is our land. We are from the offspring of Yaqub alayhi salam. We are the progeny of Yaqub alayhi salam. So it's our forefathers' land. We say, we are the followers of Anbiya alayhi salam. You left the ways of Anbiya alayhi salam. an Anbiya alayhi salam, when their inheritance come out, does not come out in the form of land or clothing or wealth. It comes out in the form of a worship and ibadah and iman and aqidah. And we got the iman and aqidah. It's our land. This is the conflict. This is where it started from. And then of course it continues, goes through a lot of other stages. During the time of Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam, the rulers of Egypt were called Muluk, kings. And then the situation changed until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. Musa alayhi salatu wassalam was sent to Fir'aun, was not sent to a king of Egypt. He was sent to Fir'aun of Egypt. And he had a debate with the magicians. When the magicians accepted Iman, the day of the worst humiliation that Fir'aun had ever seen in his life. That was the day. When he sees the magicians in front of all of people of Egypt, they are prostrating before Rabbul Alameen subhanahu wa ta'ala and accepting Musa alayhi salam as a messenger of Allah. Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, he was asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to tell Fir'aun that we are not taking anything away from you. If you are not willing to accept this faith, this iman, and believe in what I'm conveying to you, then all I would like from you is allow us to leave Egypt. That's all. We just want to leave. I'm going to take Bani Israel and we will leave. We don't want to trouble you people here. We are not going to do anything to you people. We'll just leave. Fir'aun was not willing to let Bani Israel go. And finally, we read in Quran, it's a long history, that Musa alayhi salatu wassalam took Bani Israel and they left Egypt. Before we get to the next part now, after they crossed the river and now they are heading to a direction, we will pause over here, let's come back. We said two periods in Egypt. One is the period that is called of kingdom. The other is the period that is known as Fara'ina, plural of Fir'aun. There were Fir'auns there. During the time of the kingdoms, it was easy to preach the deen over there. According to the histories, these kings were foreigners that were ruling Egypt. Fara'ina were the locals. They did not allow anyone to come and preach anything from outside. No religion. Just worship these Fara'ina, these Fir'aun. Amazingly, the reason I'm pointing out this point here, amazingly we see, this fact was known by our world today, by our historians, only about 20 years back. Before that, they did not know that there were two periods of history in the history of Egypt, the time of kingdom and the time of Fir'aun. They didn't know this, until about 20 years back. Amazingly, when you read Quran, not a single time in the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam, Allah will use the word Fir'aun that Yusuf alayhi salam's contact was with Fir'aun. No, always Malik, Malik, Malik. And whenever Allah talks about Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, not a single time Quran will say that Musa alayhi salatu wassalam went to the Malik or talked to the Malik, always says he talked to Fir'aun. How did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam know if this was his book? How would he know that part of the history, that period of Musa alaihi salam was the period of Fara'ina and the period of Yusuf alaihi salam was the period of kingdom? Very, very amazing fact that is really is at least an eye opening for those who are doubting Quran being the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musa alaihi salatu wasallam is proceeding now into the desert. And he tells people, his people, Bani Israel, as we left Egypt, where are they heading to? Ya qawm idkhulu al-ardha al-muqaddasata allati katab Allahu lakum. Oh my people, now let's enter the holy land, the blessed land that Allah has written for us. This is the land that Allah has written for us to be over there. So let's go there. I said, Ya Musa, inna fiya qawman jabbarin. No, Musa. We can't go there. These people over there are very strong. They're huge people. And then we can't confront those people. We're very weak. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was trying to convince them, no way. Inna lan nadkhulaha abadan ma damu fiha. As long as they are there, we are not going there. Fadhhab anta wa rabbuka faqatila. You and your Lord can go and fight. Once they are out, come and let us know who will come in. This was Bani Israel's response to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. As a punishment to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, innaha muharramatun alayhim 40 sana. 40 years now, you will not be allowed to enter that land. So for 40 years, yatihuna fil ard. They were just wandering around in the land, in the desert. They didn't know where they were going. Every time they walked towards that land, in the morning they're back to the same place. During that period, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam passed away. So he passed away before Bani Israel entered Baytul Maqdis. Or before they entered Palestine, in our term. The hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam was about to die, he made a will. He said to them, take my body to the closest point you can to al-Ard al-Muqaddasa. And get me there, ramiyatun bihajar, as close as when a person would throw a stone, how far that stone will fall, this is how close I need to be from Al-Quds, from that holy land. So anyway, Musa alayhi salam died during that period. After 40 years, now we have a next generation. That generation said, اِذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ فَقَاتِلَ. Now you have the next generation, يُوشِعْ بِن نُون عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. He led Bani Israel, and now they proceeded towards Al-Quds. They crossed the river by Jordan. And then they could not proceed any further, but they got, as you see, that's part of the Sham of the time, so they got portion of Al-Ard Al-Muqaddasa. Now Bani Israel, with Yusha bin Nun, are in Al-Ard Al-Muqaddasa, in that holy land, but they are not up to Quds yet. And they kept on struggling for it. Finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them that area and they got into Al-Quds also. According to the historians, this was about 1000 to 1300 years before the time of of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So almost 2000 years before the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Bani Israel, they're settled there. They live in Palestine, Al-Quds. But now, as everything is settled, they've changed their lifestyle. Now everything changed, it started changing in their deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is the beginning of surah, Bani Israel is telling us that part of the history. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, that make sure you don't do these things in this land. This is not the place for disobeying me. And if you continue doing this, I will assign people on you that will really torture you. And if you read just the first page of Surah Bani Israel, you will see all of this. And finally, the same thing happened. Someone attacked them, and they took a lot of their children, they captured them, thousands of them were captured. And this is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Quran, they said to their prophet, إِبْعَثْ لَنَا مَلِكًا نُقَاتِلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Assign a king that we can go and fight in the path of Allah. So the Prophet of Allah said, هَلْ عَسَيْتُمْ إِن كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِتَالُ وَلَّا تُقَاتِلُوا. What's the possibility that once Allah will assign a king that you can follow and go and have try to get your children back? And especially that is the time when they lost the ark in which they had the blessed items from the time of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, like the staff of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and other staff that they have, other things that they had in there. So they lost them. So they wanted to get those things back. Anyway, as they got it back, and that became the sign for the king to be a rightful king. So they followed that king. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Talut, wa qatala Dawudu Jalut. In that war, Dawood. Now Dawood comes in between. The head of the Muslim army at the time is Talut. And the head of the opposition is Jalut. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Dawood, who was a young man at the time, alayhi salatu wasalam, to kill Jalut. وَآتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكِ. After this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the kingdom of that area to Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. So here we move from all the time, away from the time of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, moving on to all of his children, and then Yusuf alayhi salam, finally to Musa alayhi salam, and here we see Dawood alayhi salam comes there. Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam ruled Al-Quds for 40 years. And then his son Sulaiman alayhi salam took over another 40 years. That was those 80 years were the golden era of Palestine. That was the golden era of the history of Bani Israel also. And after that, changes started coming as soon as Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam passed away. And Quran talks about his death also, amazing death. He's standing in Salah and he dies. And no one knows that he's dead. Anyway, after he passed away and they found out that he's dead, then Bani Israel were divided in two groups. Two of the groups chose Sulaiman alayhi salam's son to be the king and the ruler. And the other 10 clans, they chose someone else. And history goes in detail why, and you would be amazed to read that part of the history, why they did not accept the son of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Continuing from here on, of course, the situation of Bani Israel kept on changing. Then they started assigning, they would not choose any of the prophets to be the leader from there on. They stopped choosing Anbiya to be the leaders, so it's called the era of judges. So that was the era of judges, when judges used to rule that area. And finally it continued, and then those judges were gone also, and other nations came, took over until the time of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, coming into this is so that we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed that land with great people. Of course, if there are so many Anbiya, pay attention now. If there are so many Anbiya there, for sure they have their followers there. There is so much ibadah there. There is so much wahi there. There are so many revelations being revealed over there. Imagine what would be the blessings of the wahi being revealed throughout that time. Malaika coming day and night, visiting Anbiya alayhim as-salatu wasalam. So subhanAllah, it's really a lot of khair and barakat over there. And now is the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in Makkah Mukarramah, a person came from Palestine. He was a businessman. Came with another group of people just for their business. They heard about Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This person was a minister, Christian minister also. And he was a businessman. So he thought, it's a good opportunity to go and visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he went and visited Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Asked him a few questions about Islam. At this time, he went back with the intention of studying more about this religion in the light of his religion. This person's name is Tamim Ad-Dari radiyallahu anhu. Did not accept Islam yet. He went back, radiyallahu anhu. Did not accept Islam yet. He went back. Imam Ibn Asakir rahimahullah narrates that Tamim Ad-Dari says, once I was going on a business trip. On the way, it was a night time, and according to our custom, now remember, Christian minister is a person that we're talking about. On the way, it's night time, I'm in the middle of the jungle, so I made a call according to the tradition of our time that I'm seeking refuge of the chief of this area. They used to say these words whenever they end up in the desert or in the jungle. And they are afraid of any attack. Who is the chief of the area? Jinns were the chiefs of the areas. So they used to seek protection from the jinns against anything that could happen to them in that place. So Tamim Ad-Dari says,
that I made that call and I went and I laid down, so I heard someone calling me back. Ista'idh billah. Now you need to seek Allah's protection. Now we do not provide any protection anymore. So I asked him, who are you? He said, I'm the chief that you are calling. So I said, then why don't you provide me with the protection? He said, because kharaja nabiyyu hadhihi al-ummah. The prophet of this ummah is already out. Our time is gone. We went and we visited that prophet of Allah. And we followed that prophet of Allah. We believed in him. It's your opportunity. You better follow him. He says, at that time I realized, see, you had already met Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but something is stopping him and is studying it in the light of his books. He see all the signs there, but still, how would I follow a person from that area? And here, as he heard this, of course, he realized that this is the Prophet of Allah, and even the jinns, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using even the jinns to spread his deen. Now Tamim al-Dari, in the 9th year of Hijrah, with a delegation from that area of Palestine, they left for Medina Munawwara. And the long hadith is in Sahih Muslim. On the way, they had to take a ship. On the way, they got stuck in a tornado that destroyed their ship, and they had small boats attached to the ship. They were able to get into the boats and get into an island. The hadith now is from Sahih Muslim. Tamim al-Dari radiallahu anhu says, we went into the island. We saw a small construction over there. When we went into that building, فَإِذَا بِدَابَّ, there was an animal in there. نَاشِزَةٍ شَعْرَهَا. This animal had long hair that was spread all over the body, spread in a way that you couldn't tell the front from the back. Description is very important here. You couldn't tell the front from the back of this animal. And Tamim al-Dari radiallahu anhu uses the word labbasa. What is talbis? When you mix up things. So this animal was somewhere where it's really talking in a way and presenting the information by its presence in a way that you can't figure out anything about it. It's all confusing, you can say. This is all confusing. So we asked her, who are you? So she said, Anil Jassasa. My name is Jassasa. I'm sure there are students studying the Arabic language sitting over here. Something may click there. From Jasus. This was the center of secret services. All the Jasus is there. And covered up in a way that you couldn't figure out where is the front, where is the back. And the whole situation is very confusing. You don't know where the information is coming and where it's going. So we asked this Jassasa, and what are you doing here? So this animal says, I don't want to talk to you people. But go towards the end of this building there. End of the island. You would find another person over there. And Tamim al-Dari radiallahu anhu says, when that dabba, that animal said, you would find a person there, it really scared us that then this is not a human being. Until now, they are even in doubt if it is an animal or human being. This is how confusing that animal was. So anyway, he said, we went there, quickly we left that Jassasa and we went towards the place where the animal pointed out, that go towards the end of the island. When we went there, we saw a person that was tied up in chains, chains all over the body. From knee to the foot, you can't even see the body. This is how many chains are there. So we said, who are you? So he said, now since you're here, you'll get my information. But I need to ask you a few questions. Tell me about these things, because those things will make a big difference for me. So we said, okay, go ahead and ask. So now this animal is asking, What happened to Ain Zughr? There was a fountain. And I'm saying now, I'm talking about there was, because not there anymore. There was a fountain just by the Dead Sea, coming off, branching off the river, Jordan River. If you look into the map, it will look like an egg, just the shape of an egg, or little off. That is where this person is referring to. He's saying, what is there? So we said, what do you like to know about it? So that person says that, is there water there? Yes. Are people using the water from there? Yeah, a lot of water is coming out of there. Imagine now, this person is again asking about the same area. And these people are from that area. So they know those details. So, is there water there? Yes. And people are using the water for the lands, for farming? Yes, they are using it, a lot of water coming there. He said, okay. Then he asked that, what is the situation with Nakhl Baysan? Now, Baysan is the oldest city in Palestine, or one of the oldest city after Ariha maybe. So, Baysan is an old city of Palestine. What is there? Nakhl Baysan, there was a lot of trees over there. It was a nice farming area. They said, what do you like to know about it? Is there any trees over there? Is this producing a lot of fruit? Yes, it is. He said, soon a time would come when there will be no trees over there. Now, in the year 670 something, one of the Muslim historians write that I went over there and there were only about 3-4 trees over there. This in the year 600 of Hijrah. Then he asked, tell me about Buhayra Tabariya. Buhayra Tabariya is also around the Dead Sea, Lake Galilee, I think they call it in our time. So he said, tell me about it. So they asked him, what do you know about, what do you like to know about it? They said, is there water in there? They said, yes. He said, soon a time would come when there will be no water in there. And only some time back, I was seeing a commentary where the people of Palestine now, the government, is really panicking that water is drying up in Buhayra Tabariya. And they're saying that this is going to really hurt the economy of that country. In fact, it may even affect the residency in that country because their main survival is based on Buhayra Tabariya. So he said, that's going to dry up too. Anyway, these Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in left from there. They arrived Medina Munawwara. When they came to Medina Munawwara, Tamim al-Dari radiyallahu anhu informed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam of the whole incident. Tamim al-Dari radiyallahu anhu informed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam of the whole incident. Fatima bint Qais radiyallahu anha is the sahabiyah who's narrating this hadith which is in Sahih Muslim. She says, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent a person to make an announcement of Salatu Jami'ah. Now everyone, we would like everyone to come to the masjid for Salah. When people gather in the masjid, she said, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam led the Salah. After Salah, he sat on the minbar and he was smiling. He was very happy. And then he narrated this whole incident to us. Tamim al-Dari radiyallahu anhu may be the only sahabi who narrated something and then Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is narrating it on his authority. Generally, sahaba would narrate on the authority of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But here, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is sitting on the minbar and he is narrating and he says to them that he narrated this to me. And he was very happy. And then Tamim al-Dari also informed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that Dajjal, where we asked him at the end, who are you? He said, I'm Dajjal. So Dajjal said to them that as I would come out within 40 days, I will travel the whole world, but I won't be able to enter Makkah and Medina. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, holding his staff in his hand, he hit it on the minbar and he said, this is the pure city. This is the pure city. This is the pure city. Dajjal will not be allowed to enter here. This reminds me of a hadith of Musnad Ahmad. Amazing hadith. That talks about Dajjal trying to enter into Medina Munawwara. And it says, once Dajjal will get by Medina Munawwara and angels are there, they are protecting Medina Munawwara from Dajjal, not allowing him to get in there. Dajjal will get on top of the mountain with his people and he will say, انظروا إلى ذاك القصر الأبيض. Look at that white castle. ذاك مسجد أحمد. That is the masjid of Ahmad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now amazingly, you look at the, sometimes it's astonishing when you look at the wordings of the hadith. انظروا إلى ذلك القصر الأبيض. Look at that white castle. When in the history, the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was white. And nowadays, look at it, Google it. Look at the Medina Munawwara and just make a small, like, zoom it in and you will see, you will notice that that masjid looks white in between the whole city. And then, when in the history, the masjid of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was built in a way that you can use the word qasr for it, castle. Never. But now, you look at it, it's the castle that you see over there. It's a beautiful castle. So you'll be telling his people, look, that is the masjid of Ahmad. I want to get there, but I can't get there. And then the malaika will turn him away. Tamim ad-Dari radiallahu anhu, as we know, he's from that area, from Palestine. Amazing miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Tamim ad-Dari radiallahu anhu was going back, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam designated a piece of land in an area that is known nowadays Al-Khalil, the area of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. And he gave it to him as a gift. Now, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has no control over Palestine at that time. So what Tamim ad-Dari is going to do with it? He can't even have access to it. He can't take it. He can't have the ownership of it. But Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I'm giving that land to you and to your family. Subhanallah. 13 years later, or even more, when during the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, they conquered Palestine, Umar radiallahu anhu said to Tamim, I remember when Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told you that this is your area. And he gave it to him. Now, our historians, Nasir Khusru, 340 something, he says, I went there. And when I went to the area of Al-Khalil, I saw that same area that was of a Tamim ad-Dari. Allah put so much khair and barakah in it. Tamim ad-Dari designated 1/3 of that land for the needy people and travelers. So he says, when I went there, there were bakeries and there were restaurants that were running day and night for free, just giving the travelers the food for free and giving them accommodation over there. This is the land that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to Tamim ad-Dari. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is known that he would not eat without guest. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sitting in Medina doesn't have any food at his own home. But this Nasir Khusru says 500 people sometime in a day would eat over there. Daily basis. He says the whole day people are working and giving food for free over there. Subhanallah. Tamim ad-Dari radiallahu anhu, once he went back to Palestine, he settled over there. But then he came for some time to Medina Munawwara. So during the Khilafah of Umar radiallahu anhu, he was in Medina Munawwara also for some time. He is the first Sahabi who put candles in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, who put up these candles here? So they said, it's Tamim ad-Dari. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for him. Nawwarakallahu kama nawwarta masjidana. May Allah put nur in you the way you brought light into our masjid. We will make the same dua for people who contributed to these lights in the masjid. It's a dua. It's a masnoon dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made for people who would help in the lighting of the masjid. One of his slaves, whose name was Fath, was the one who worked on putting all of those lamps up. So Tamim ad-Dari radiallahu anhu, of course, he is the one who's doing it, he's paying the money, but he said to his slave, whose name was Fath, that go and put all of these lights up there. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Tamim ad-Dari, you did it, you put it all there? Ya Rasulullah, yes, and I told my slave here, he was with him, his name is Fath. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, from now on his name is Siraj, the candle. So he named that person candle. During the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, there was a volcano in Medina Munawwara. Umar radiallahu anhu is sitting in his home, Darul Khilafah. That's his home. People are gathered there. And people came and told him, Amir al-Mu'mineen, it's coming out. And it's about to hit the neighborhood around there. And once it will hit that neighborhood, the whole Medina will be on fire. What did Umar radiallahu anhu do? The narration says, he picked up his sheet, went out, and he's rushing, but to the opposite direction. The volcano is on that side. He's going this side. Where are you going? Amir al-Mu'mineen is over there. He said, wait. The switch is there. He went to the other side. Where did he go? He knocked at the door of Tamim al-Dari radiallahu anhu. Tamim radiallahu anhu opened the door. Umar said, Tamim, do you know, did you hear about the volcano? Yes, Amir al-Mu'mineen, I heard about it. He said, go, go, take care of it. Amir al-Mu'mineen, what can I do to it? He said, don't tell me this now. This is not the time. I know you, you know me. Go ahead, take care of it. The Sahaba narrate that we went there to see what Tamim will do. He took his sheet and he started pushing the fire back. Until he took it all the way to the mountain. Kept on pushing it further back into the cave. And he himself went into the cave and stepped on it until the fire was off. This is what Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prepared. This is Tamim al-Dari radiallahu anhu. Imam ibn Isakir rahimahullah narrates on the authority of Urwa that there are four people who finished the whole Quran in one rak'ah inside the Kaaba. Four people. Two of the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. Who are those? Usman radiallahu anhu for sure and Tamim al-Dari radiallahu anhu. And two of the tabi'een, Sa'id ibn Jubayr and Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. Four people who finished the whole Quran over there. Tamim al-Dari radiallahu anhu is the first sahabi who started, subhanallah, something that I will, at least, I know you will do that after hearing this, but I always thank him every time for it. You know what he started? He started the talk before the khutbah of the Jummah. Once, when I came out of a masjid after the khutbah, after the Jummah, about 10, 15 young brothers, mashallah, they surrounded me. And they started a very nice conversation, brother, you know, mashallah, it was excellent khutbah, it was this and this. And you know, when they start brushing you, what does that mean? So, and finally they came to the point, but brother, there were three khutbahs. So, where were the three khutbahs? No, you know, the first thing you had that English talk and then you have the khutbahs. So that's three khutbahs. I said, but that was before the adhan. No, it still is a khutbah. Because they named a scholar that he said that having a talk on the day of Jummah in the masjid at any time is considered khutbah. Okay. I said, I never knew that. But how about if Sahaba did it? Impossible. I said, possible or impossible, that's a leave it up to me. What if Sahaba did it? They did three khutbahs according to your explanation. I said, okay, if they did it, we will accept it. And that part, that's impossible. And the hadith is in Mustadrak Hakim. I told them right there. I said, the hadith is in Mustadrak Hakim, that Tamim al-Dari radiallahu anhu, every Jum'ah, he used to stand by the member, and he used to give talk until Umar radiallahu anhu would come out. Then Umar radiallahu anhu, the muadhin, will call the adhan, and Umar radiallahu anhu will give the two khutbahs. This is how we do it. And Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu used to narrate the hadith. So they used to alternate. Sometime Abu Huraira is narrating the hadith, sometime Tamim al-Dari is giving a talk. So subhanallah, he is the sahabi who started giving the talk at the time before the khutbah of the Jum'ah. He will give the talk and then Umar radiallahu anhu would come and will give the khutbahs and lead the salah. And he is one of those sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in whom Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu chose to be the imam of Salatul Taraweeh. When they gathered people for having one jama'ah, Tamim al-Dari radiallahu anhu was one of those two. Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiallahu anhu and Tamim al-Dari radiallahu anhu, they used to lead Salatul Taraweeh. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really blessed Tamim al-Dari radiallahu anhu with a lot of these special blessings. As I said, after that, then he went back, he settled back in Palestine, in the land that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave it to him, and he passed away in the year 40 of the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Had only one daughter, Ruqayya radiallahu anha, rahimahullah. And from Ruqayya, of course, he had children that were settled in that area, and they were taking care of that land that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave it to them. During the time of Imam Ghazali rahimahullah, the governor of that town, who the person you can say in our really, we may say the councilman of that area or the mayor of that town, he tried to take it away from them. He said, no, this is too much for you people. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave it to Tamim, at that time it wasn't his land. Subhanallah, look at this explanation now. So he's saying, his claim is, the time when Prophet ﷺ gave it to Tamim, it wasn't his land. So therefore, he could not give it, because it wasn't his land. So therefore, we need to take it back. So they went to the Qadi of that time. The judge gave his ruling in the favor of the governor. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah was there during, that was the 10 or 12 years period when Imam Ghazali was doing i'tikaf in Al-Quds and the surrounding areas. So Imam Ghazali finds out. He went up and he said, whoever says that this land does not belong to them, because Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he designated the land to them, he did not have the ownership of it, that person is out of the fold of Islam. Imagine the fatwa now. And he comes just the other way. So, everyone surrounded him. What are you talking about? How would you say he's out of the fold of Islam? How did Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam give it out? He said, do you know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, in Sunan ibn Majah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ زَوَالِيَ الْأَرْضِ فَرَأَيْتُ مَشَارِقَهَا وَمَغَارِبَهَا. Allah, He squeezed the earth for me, so I was able to see the east and west. So he was looking at those places when he's giving it out. Not only this, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this Imam Ghazali says, that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also assigning castles in Jannah to different Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in. Not to talk about just giving people some portion of this land here. And from that point of on, they made a resolution. On the government level at that time, this is around the year 500, now we're talking about 490. 492, it was taken away from the Muslims. But at that time, they may pass a resolution that no one is allowed to take this land from them. Subhanallah, so many miracles just within one person's life. I have a list of 60 people, really. 20 of the Sahaba, 20 of the Tabi'een, and 20 of muhaddiseen that we normally read in Sahih Sitta, we read their names in the books of ahadith and the chain of the narrators, that inshallah we were going to talk about. But I think at this time this should be enough, just so that we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Ard Mubarakah. Imam Hafiz ibn Hajar rahimahullah, originally from there, Asqalan. In fact, you would be amazed to hear that Asqalan, Imam Hafiz ibn Hajar, Al-Asqalani, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, which is in the Musnad Ahmad, with sanad that is sahih, that best riba, best place to protect the ummah and the land of the ummah will be in Asqalan. And subhanallah, protection could be in many different ways. And see how Hafiz ibn Hajar rahimahullah protected ilmul hadith. So, a lot of muhaddiseen from there, a lot of fuqaha, mufassireen from there, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to be able to connect to these blessed places and understand the importance of these places. There is another very, very important topic that comes in between, but I'm not going to get into it. I was planning to at least touch bases, but we'll leave it inshallah for some other time maybe. This is just so that I make sure I get invited again. That is the connection between Makkah and Baytul Maqdis. In simple words, between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Anbiya of Bani Israel. There is a very, very strong connection. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Baytul Maqdis to be the place where Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go for Isra. And from there, he went for Mi'raj. All the Anbiya gathered over there. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led the Salah in Al-Quds over there. So there is a lot of things that have connection between Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they are establishing this very important connection between Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Baytul Maqdis. Not only this, from that angle, if you start looking at the history now, you would see in today's time, there is so much connection in the situations that are happening in Al-Quds with what is coming from Makkah and Medina until this day, even up to this day. There is a strong connection there. But only if we studied from this angle, hopefully Allah will open our eyes to see those avenues, how Allah is connecting these sacred places and these Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam. These are all our Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam. May Allah bless them and protect their qubur. But one final point for those who may have visited, or at least you heard about people visiting there. Did anyone tell you he went to the qabr of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, or went to qabr of Yaqub alayhi salam, and went to qabr of Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam, and there was a large group of people standing there, I couldn't get there? This is the miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Go to Medina Munawwara and you see how people are crowded over there just to say salam to their Prophet. And those who are claiming to be the followers of Israel, of Yaqub alayhi salam, where are they? Yaqub alayhi salam is right there. Where are you? Ibrahim alayhi salam is there. Musa alayhi salam's qabr is there. When I went there, all I see is a drunk man standing by there. That was such a scary situation. What is he going to there, by the qabr here? But that's all I found over there, by the qabr of Musa alayhi salatu was salam. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's showing us a lot of signs and these things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding of it, so that we can appreciate what we see, understand what we see, and relate to our situation of what we see. Wa sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala ala khayri khalqih, Sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.